Influenza and cases of a respiratory virus called RSV are so bad right now that American Family Children's Hospital in Madison is restricting visitors to the hospital. It starts today, and kids under age 12 are not allowed to visit inpatient units at the Children's Hospital. A release says the last time visitors were limited like this was back in 2009, when H1N1 was the concern back then. It's the morning show here on the Ideas Network, and I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer Kent. We're talking about RSV and other illnesses that threaten babies this time of year. Join the conversation. What do you want to know about RSV? Has it ever hit anyone in your family? What do you want people to understand about the risks of illness this time of year? 800-642-1234. There's a line for you at that number. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Dr. John Taylor is a Prevea Health pediatric intensivist at HSHS St. Vincent Children's Hospital in Green Bay. He provides special care for critically ill patients. Dr. Taylor, thanks for joining us today.
Good morning. Thank you.
Help people understand RSV a little bit better. How do you describe this virus?
RSV is a virus that causes a cold. Sniffles, runny nose, cough, congestion. The population that is most affected by this virus is the young children, under a year of age, particularly under 6 months of age, and even more so if they've been born prematurely. It also affects the geriatric population, so older individuals as well. And it causes a significant amount of thick mucus that is very difficult to cough out. And the younger babies, because they're not as strong, have a lot of trouble getting this mucus out so they can breathe easily. That also interferes with feeding. And if they can't feed, then they become a little bit dehydrated, and that thickens the mucus and makes it all the more harder to cough and clear things out. But for most children, it's a bad cold. Fever, feel crummy, cough for a few days to a week or two.
That seems like one of the reasons it might be extra dangerous, right? That this respiratory disease just seems like a cold to everybody else, but it poses this unique risk to these different populations. Do we take it a little, like, not seriously enough?
Oh, no. I think it's actually been very well promoted. The lay literature, parents' magazines, I think, address it actually quite well. 30, 40 years ago, we used to say, well, it's just a virus. Now we're able to identify a large number of different viruses on some tests that we can get information back fairly rapidly in a matter of a couple of hours. And RSV in particular is one of those viruses that has been identified with rapid testing for quite a while. There are a number of other viruses that we also see that cause similar symptoms. Again, in the younger population, when it's most problematic is because of their size and their inability to cough and clear the secretions.
What are you seeing in Green Bay as far as RSV cases?
This year, it's an epidemic that occurs every year. We see it sometime late November through March, and sometimes it's a little earlier in the year, sometimes it's a little bit later. We're seeing about the average number of cases this time of year, both on an outpatient basis, and the patients that I see are sick enough that they need to be in the hospital. Our numbers from an inpatient standpoint are about the same as they were last year and the year before.
Something like 87 children treated for RSV and 30 hospitalized at St. Vincent and St. Mary's Hospital since October. I understand you're talking with other hospitals across Wisconsin, too. I mean, do we know what the broader picture looks like?
I'm part of a group that connects all five of the pediatric intensive care units in the state, and we've been inundated throughout the state. The hospitals are full. As you mentioned, limitations on visitation at American Family Children's Hospital, it's the same in Milwaukee, and we have the same limitations trying to control the spread, both by not having young children coming into the hospital where we have a concentration of illness, but also trying to avoid those kids bringing something else in as well.
Yeah, what is it about the winter season that makes this virus more rampant?
Mostly it's that we tend to gather together. We're inside. We aren't spread out as much as we are in the summertime. It's easily spread by droplets. If someone coughs or sneezes, rubs their nose, it's easily then passed from person to person. This particular virus can lay somewhat dormant on a countertop for several hours and still be infectious, meaning if the droplet is there and you touch it, you can rub your eye, rub your nose, and get yourself infected. It passes from person to person very easily. And as we gather together in the wintertime inside with school and with work, and we're not separated as much, it's more easily passed. In the tropics, the monsoon time, when people are gathered together trying to avoid the rain, is when they tend to see RSV and other respiratory illnesses more.
Dr. John Taylor specializes in pediatric critical care medicine and works in Green Bay. And we're wondering, if you work at a hospital in Wisconsin, how are you dealing with RSV or flu cases? Maybe you don't work in healthcare, but your child got sick when they were too little for a vaccine. You can share your story with us at 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. Dr. Taylor, with such a highly contagious disease and hospitals treating patients who have this, how are hospital staff keeping the disease from spreading to other patients and families?
We're very cautious about isolation practices, so we gown with paper gowns, we wear gloves, masks, partly so that we don't take the virus from patient to patient, and also to protect ourselves so that we aren't ill. The nursing staff, the healthcare staff here in the hospital and at all of the hospitals, all of the children's hospitals, are dedicated to taking care of kids. And every year they step up, work extra shifts, and really are the linchpin for us to be able to take care of these kids when it's sometimes overwhelming with the number of patients.
When children, especially babies, have RSV, what symptoms are they likely experiencing that should raise those red flags for us?
The primary findings that parents will see is a thick cough, very congested, working hard at breathing, head bobbing, sometimes seeing the ribs sticking out, pulling in at the top of the chest, the bottom of the neck, underneath the ribs where the stomach seems to be working hard at breathing. Their breathing rate is fast, and sometimes fast in the 50, 60, 70 times a minute basis, where it then becomes very difficult for them to be able to suck and swallow, either breastfeeding or taking a bottle easily. So their feedings become poor, and their urine output becomes less. They have less diapers in frequency, and the weight of the diaper is less.
Speaking from experience, that breathing that babies have when they have RSV is just terrifying. My daughter had RSV when she was 3 weeks old and spent a week in the hospital then. And I remember how, like, her whole body just sucked into her rib cage and she was struggling. And I remember doubting myself as a parent, thinking, okay, well, is this really what they're talking about? Or is it too much? Or should I take her in? Or shouldn't I take her in? I mean, how can we try to navigate that when there are so many little things that we run to the doctor for? Because you don't want to expose your kids at the clinic to more stuff. And at the same time, like, how do we know where to draw the line? What should we do as parents?
Most healthcare offices have a very good setup triage system, giving a call and saying, this is what's going on, I'm concerned. But generally, parents have a pretty good instinct, even first-time parents who may call a little bit more often with what seems to be trivial questions. But if their instincts are telling them this is not right, this is something wrong, then giving a call or setting up an appointment to come in. And if they are particularly scared, then coming into the emergency room. Although, as you mentioned, the emergency rooms, the physician's offices often are rampant with having ill children, and trying to avoid the spread is not being an area where that illness is.
Not all babies wind up in the hospital for a week on oxygen like my daughter did. So what is kind of the range of treatment if a child is diagnosed with RSV?
There's no specific treatment. As with a bacterial illness, something like strep throat, we give penicillin, antibiotics to treat the infection. RSV, as with almost all viruses, there's no specific fix, no medicine to make it any better, any faster. The supportive care is the primary process. We've tried asthma-type medicines like albuterol. We've tried steroids. Nothing makes the illness any better, any faster. The reason that we would send somebody home from the hospital if they've needed to be home is that their oxygen numbers on our monitoring are satisfactory, which we think of as generally in the 90s, upper 80s to 90s, and that their ability to drink is enough. So if they are evaluated in the office or in the emergency room, if their oxygen levels are low and they need supplemental oxygen above what we are breathing in room air, and if their ability to drink is not satisfactory, then that would be the time in which we would have them be admitted.
Dr. John Taylor stays with us as we talk about winter viruses that threaten the health of our youngest Wisconsinites. What are you seeing firsthand in your area of healthcare? Do you work at a facility that's dealing with lots of RSV cases, or are you seeing more flu cases? What questions do you have about things like RSV, which causes bad cold symptoms and can threaten lives? 800-642-1234 is the number. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. This is The Morning Show. I'm Keeley Boltina, and our conversation continues ahead on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keeley Boltina, and we have some serious advice for you. Don't kiss the babies. Really, this time of year, all kinds of sicknesses spread from person to person. We're talking about RSV and influenza that are dangerous to our tiny humans. Our guest says cases are surging earlier this year than in typical Wisconsin winters. And we're taking your questions. What do you want to know about protecting babies from illness during the winter? Do you have any tricks, like wearing your baby at big gatherings so you avoid passing them around? Has someone in your family gotten influenza or RSV? Tell us about it. 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. We're talking with Dr. John Taylor, who's a pediatric intensivist in Green Bay, works in intensive care there. And Christina from Glenwood is ready to join this conversation. Christina, thanks for being here today.
Thank you. I appreciate the call. My sister's two-year-old granddaughter is currently infected with RSV, and I'm wondering, what is the incubation? How long is she contagious? And did you say there was a vaccine for this?
Thanks so much, Christina. Let's go first to the vaccine. Dr. Taylor, there is no vaccine for RSV.
There's no specific vaccine. However, for extremely premature babies, a very select number of children, we do have a medicine that is given on a monthly basis for the first, potentially in the first year of life, but this is a very limited number of patients that would get it, not a regular baby, but babies who were born very, very early, who have lung disease, who have some serious congenital heart defects, so that they can avoid having the infection or to try and temporize, make the illness less sickening to the child during their first year of life after they've gone home from the neonatal intensive care unit. For a two-year-old, there's not a specific vaccine. There is constant work trying to develop something like that, but nothing available at this time.
What about that incubation period, the time it takes for the virus to ramp up in the system?
As with most viruses, the incubation period is generally a few days. 3 to 5, 6 days is the usual time frame. So trying to avoid them during that period. And the contagiousness, how long they are ill and able to pass the virus is probably a week to a week and a half. So avoiding the patients during that time period, if you're a family member or trying to isolate yourself, will help reduce your getting the illness, because it's an illness that they can get 1 year and get the next year and the next year, and adults can get it and not realize it, and just have a bad cold and not realize that they have the potential of spreading it to grandchildren or other people.
Yeah, Christina, hopefully that answers your questions. And what are you seeing in your sister's two-year-old? What has she experienced?
Well, just as you said, it began with a real fierce cough. And she wondered, should I call or shouldn't I? Is this something that's going to pass? And so she didn't call. And then she brought her back home to her mom. And then her mom took her in. And now she's not letting her see it. So see that her granddaughter. So we're wondering how long might she have this illness as well?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's a good question, Christina. We'll go with that. We really appreciate your call. How long do people battle RSV, especially our youngsters?
The younger they are, the longer it takes to cough and clear these secretions. Generally, in an older 2 year old, I would expect if they were to avoid the child for a week or two, that would be a reasonable period of time so that they aren't becoming ill themselves. Certainly, if she has any health problems, particularly heart or lung illness, that's an underlying problem, going a little bit longer to avoid getting it would be a good idea.
Thank you so much for the answers to those questions. Dr. John Taylor works with pediatric patients in intensive care in Green Bay, and we're talking about RSV and other illnesses that affect children. There's still time for your question. If you're wondering something about the flu or RSV, or you want to share your story about how you've seen a child affected by one of these viruses, Dr. Taylor, we can talk about a few other ailments that affect kids. I mean, this month, Minnesota health officials announced an infant died because of whooping cough. That's the first peds death since 2013. Wisconsin saw a few cases of whooping cough last year. How does that compare to RSV? How is it different? We keep talking about this fierce cough.
Whooping cough is a illness that unfortunately is easily prevented by having a vaccine, and by increasing the frequency of getting those vaccines, it does reduce the number of cases that we see. Even more than RSV, the secretions are very, very thick, and the whooping cough name, which is a common name for pertussis, is because the patient will cough so much that they cough their breath all the way out, and then they have to whoop as they create a whoop sound as they take a big breath in. Babies, especially under the month or two of age, oftentimes don't have the whoop. They aren't strong enough to do that, and one of the things that we find from a symptom standpoint is that they will have periods of apnea or stopping breathing. This season so far, we here at St. Vincent Children's Hospital have had two kids that we've hospitalized for whooping cough. And as a grandfather, one of my grandchildren this year at a month of age was able to stay home, but in the Chicago area had whooping cough herself before she could be immunized. So it's something that's out there, it's in the community, and very, very important to increase the frequency of vaccines. They are safe, and they can be very preventative, avoiding some very significant illnesses like whooping cough.
And that's like the flu, right, in that adults can get the whooping cough vaccine to protect other people, to protect babies from some circumstances like that, from exposure.
Correct.
Okay.
And we find that the vaccine does have a lifetime. It's not a lifetime vaccine. You have to have it updated, and adults are the primary population that have this bacteria, that they maintain the bacteria in the human population. So having adults getting vaccinated is important.
Makes a big difference. What about the flu season in Wisconsin? We do know a child under 10 has died from the flu in Wisconsin. The CDC's numbers show more than 400 people have been hospitalized due to influenza. What are you seeing in pediatrics in Green Bay when it comes to flu cases?
It's hitting very hard right now, and with the RSV and influenza, we're being inundated this year on top of each other. And we've had cases of the two in combination or with several other viruses that we can test for. It also has the same symptoms, cough, congestion, fever. If you're older, you're going to feel very uncomfortable. Body aches, and we're seeing a little bit more of the influenza B than influenza A here, but I've had cases of both, and typically it's about 50-50.
Is one more severe than the other?
No. Okay. They both will cause significant respiratory illnesses either way.
So it's a little more of a technicality there. I have one quick question, another audience question from our audience. How much should someone be concerned with disinfecting the entire house until they're rid of a virus? I mean, really, how do you get rid of this stuff?
The primary way is to wash hands as far as avoiding contact with spreading the illness. Will parents go home and sanitize the house after they've been here at the hospital? Yes, I know they do. There are all sorts of products. One part bleach, 10 parts water is a viricide, meaning it will kill the virus. Do they need to sanitize and bleach their entire house? Not necessarily. It will live, the RSV will live for a few hours on a countertop, and just general normal cleaning is going to be enough, and avoiding contact with runny noses.
And so more of that continual upkeep on as far as the hygiene goes. Dr. Taylor, this has been really crucial information. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you very much.
Dr. John Taylor is a Prevea Health pediatric intensivist, works at HSHS St. Vincent Children's Hospital in Green Bay, provides primary care to young patients from newborns to teenagers. This is The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina, and you are listening to the Ideas Network.